better paying jobs. And it's dwindled down ever since.
They gave up ranching on their own.
Well, it's like prior to World War II, it was pretty similar as the present time right now in agriculture. The agriculture prices were bad.
Yeah.
No grain markets, no cattle markets. So consequently, farm jobs are bad. Nobody hired, just like we are today. And that's when they moved away in late 30s, and there was nothing to bring them back. Other ranchers started getting bigger,
yeah,
taking over. So,
and
it's like they're saying today now that the food grower of the country is going to be big corporations. No longer the family farm will dwindle, and we'll go into a big corporation. I don't quite believe that, but
yeah,
it's been done for a period of time, and maybe it's going to get bigger. But
that's when a lot of these settlements began to disappear.
Right.
And houses just caved in. And
well, as I going way back again, when this was in the early 1900s, when this land was being homesteaded, various people that I talk about, some old relation who worked for Jay Dobbin in the early year when they were young, he told those people, you homestead and prove up on it. When you get approved, you work for me in the meantime. During the time you prove up on it, I'll buy the land when times get better. And he did that thing. He bought a lot of that homestead and land. That's why he owned as much homestead land as he did.
Well, this is a special kind of ranch land in here, or grazing land. Get people in here from other places. They have to learn a whole new way of life, don't they, in this rugged, steep country. And now with the movement through the seasons, I don't know of any place like it. Do you find that that's true, that this is something a little extra here that you have to know to
make
it go in this country?
I think it's something extra you have to know. I can't say you put any value on it, because I guess, you know, sense in a lot of people's sense of way of thinking, it's a pretty lowly way of life, but it's a way of life for those people who learn to grow up here and learn to love this country.
Yeah.
And I think if you've talked to other people, probably going to say pretty much what I'm going to say, that the people that really survive this country and learn it and know it and study it are the people who have a love for the canyons, love for a saddle horse, a good dog, and a good bunch of cattle.
A saddle horse with two legs longer on one side than the other.
And if you come from the outside, from prairie country, we just don't see people too much adjust for this country.
Yeah.
Because it's just such a sudden change. And I've always said that, I've always contended a country boy can adjust to city life, but a lot of city people can't adjust to the canyon country.
You know? Well, would you be happy living in a city? Could you adjust to?
If I was like a doctor's making big money and working short hours, I probably could enjoy it at my age.
How big a family did you have?
There was our family was six children.
Three brothers and three sisters?
Two girls and four boys.
Two girls and four boys. So then, your father divide what he had among all of you, or did some not want to stay here, or what?
No, when he was still living, back in right after World War II, most of the kids in the family became partners in the livestock business with him, on a percentage of the production. We never owned the land, we only owned percent of the cow herd and the production. And as years went by, a lot of us, some of them just pulled out and sold out the remainders. So some of us bought some of the land that we lived on and took our own cow herd and went our own way and still worked with the family and those sort of things. But anyway, at the time of his death, he only had two of the family, his oldest and youngest sons, that was in business with him. And his...